Lord, and that's how it all began, with you first loving us. Your word says God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were your enemies, you came to earth, Lord, and made us your own. It's amazing to think about. And Lord, we just want to say thank you with our own faltering words. Thank you for all you have done to make us who we are to you and to show us who you are to us. We thank you for the relationship that you have created and that you are facilitating, cultivating, and helping us to appreciate day by day. We ask that you'd continue that fabulous work as we explore your word together this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Today's message, as we continue going through our study on the church this month, today's message is titled, The You in Church. The You in Church. The You in Church. That's the letter U. And for you note takers, today there's going to be a main idea, and your points will be the verse references, okay? So we're not going to have points in the traditional, normal sense. The verse references will be your points. I want you to take out the view from my place. I want to launch our study this morning by reading this to you as you follow along. And I appreciate Grace reading a portion of it. I know many of you have read it already, and some of you were reading it while we were worshiping. But I want to start with this morning with a few points of commentary along the way, if you'll bear with me. So if you're there, have you allowed your mind to drift into considering yourself just one of many recipients of God's care? Sort of in the same way we all receive the sunshine and the rain. Or maybe the way a politician looks out on her supporters and says, I love you all. If so, if that's what you think, or even if that's what you've been feeling, a course correction is in order. For although the Lord sometimes refers to us in general terms like children or flock, his love and purposes for you are unique because they are targeted on who you are individually. And yes, he's just that awesome. Your personality, your thoughts, your life experiences, your desires, your attitudes, your habits, and yes, all your secrets. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Nothing about you is hidden from him. He knows precisely where you are emotionally, spiritually, mentally, physically at all times. Yes, God loves everybody in the entire world, but the specific features of his love differ from person to person in accordance with the uniqueness of each person. We don't all learn the same way, so he doesn't teach us all the same. We don't all think the same way, so he doesn't give us all the same paradigms. We don't experience situations the same way, so he uses different methods to reach us. And that's what makes this journey so fascinating, that the Lord shows us from time to time that he sees us individually. He sees me. That's what causes me to go, wow, he knows me. He knows my name. He sees me. He knows how I tick. He did that just for me. Those are the things we find ourselves saying. And he works with each of our place, our pace, and our process. And for this reason, neither his love nor his purposes for you can be compared to anyone else because no one is like you. His love and plans for you are perfect. His love and his plans for you are perfect. Thank you, Jesus. They're tailored like a custom suit for all that is true of you and only you. As part of his treasured possession, we are all precious stones, all of the same carat, but each with a different cut. None of greater or lesser value, but each of special value. See, the scripture says God does not show favoritism. He doesn't show partiality, but he favors each one of us uniquely. In the Lord's appraisal, there's nothing ordinary or common about you. In his eyes, you are a category of one. Now, can you believe that? Can you believe that? Can you believe that? If you can, the truth is even better. Because the scripture says that what is true is that the love that you just heard described doesn't even come close to what the reality is. Because the reality of that love encompasses all of this and so much more. The scripture says it goes beyond our knowledge, our ability to comprehend. And it's going to be our ongoing lesson in eternity. Because the Lord says that throughout all of eternity, he's going to be revealing to us his grace and his kindness toward us. How magnificent we are to him and how magnificent he is to us. So my main idea today, my main point is this. A truer view of yourself in Christ will lead to greater impact on the world for Christ. You see, this is not, I'm going to give you that again. A truer view of yourself in Christ. A truer view of yourself in Christ will lead to greater impact on the world for Christ. How can I be a more powerful, potent force for Jesus Christ on this earth? How can I have a life of impact and significance that brings other people into the orbit of God's love more effectively? How can I accomplish God's purposes for me? God created me for a purpose. How can I accomplish that more effectively? How can I accomplish that in a more satisfying, fulfilling, conscious way? A truer view of yourself in Christ will lead to greater impact on the world for Christ. I want to develop that this morning. But if you leave this morning with that thought and you pray about just that thought, Lord, give me a truer view. Give me a truer view because the evil one wants to mess with your view. Your flesh wants to mess with your view. A truer view of yourself in Christ will lead to greater impact on the world for Christ. And that's why the evil one wants to mess with that view. So this is not just about Pastor wants to give us a feel-good message. This is about Pastor wants you to actualize your potential in Christ. Pastor wants you to fully embrace what God has ordained for you to accomplish on this planet. That's what this is about, brothers and sisters. It's not a pep talk. It's a truth talk. It's a reflection of what is true, and we'll get into that. So the main idea, a truer view of yourself in Christ will lead to greater impact on the world for Christ. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Meaning that once I am on the cross through my death and my burial and my resurrection, I'm going to draw all men unto myself. God is speaking to the world today. God is speaking to the world today. He's calling out to every man, woman, and child. How is he doing that? He's doing that through each one of us in a special way. He's calling out to the world through each one of us in a special way. See, we live in a world that is increasingly hostile to the gospel. Increasingly. Here's what we're dealing with. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But the devil has influenced the world in such a way as to paint Jesus as a divisive figure. Instead of seeing Jesus as the one who redeems and unites us all under God, the evil one has painted this picture of him as being a divider. And God says, I'm drawing all men to myself. Jesus says, I'm drawing all men to myself. It says in Peter, the Lord doesn't wish any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. God so loved the world that whoever, and yet the evil one has painted Jesus as this figure that is divisive. How come he's the only way? Because he is. Because he is. And he went out of his way to demonstrate why he's the only way. He referred to prophecy to show, I am he. He referred to his death and to his resurrection to say, I am he. And I am here to offer salvation to the entire world. That's the gospel. That's the message we've been given. We're on a hostile planet. We're in enemy territory. And that message is not received with grace and with gratitude. Now, the scripture says that some who hear it will hear life. And they'll come into the kingdom. To some, it's an aroma of life. To others, it says it will be an aroma of death. But that's what we're dealing with here. And what God wants to do is communicate to the world his message of life through each one of us in this room. And every person who names the name of Jesus Christ, he wants to do that. But he wants to do it not in the same way. We're not all robots. And we're not all soldiers marching in rank. As uniquely as he has designed you, so uniquely does he want to bring his message forth from you. Did you hear that? As uniquely as he has designed you, he wants to bring his message forth from you just as uniquely. It's the same message. It's the same Jesus. But the way he wants to bring that out of each one of us is very different. It relates to the uniqueness of our design. So think of it this way. Here's what God's plan is. Think of it this way. God's delivering a message of life to a dead world. And in any given person's life, you may be a sentence. You might be a paragraph. Or you might be a chapter. But whatever you are, God doesn't waste words. And he's not wasting the word that you are. Because, see, when a person comes to know Jesus, it's not the result of one person coming up to him and just sharing Christ and boom, now there he is. There's been a lot of work that has gone on for that person to get to a place where their hearts are open to receive that message. So you look at people who have come to the Lord. Look at your own life. Who led you to the Lord? You might think it was just the preacher, but it was your mama praying for you too. It was your Aunt Susie praying for you. It was that word that a neighbor said to you as you were messing around in the backyard. You know better than that. Anybody who belongs to Jesus Christ is a part of his message to the world. In the church, you are a message of love from him to his people to strengthen and to build up the body. Darren's word to us, Darren's message of love to us is different than anybody else's message of love to us. He has been designed uniquely to communicate God's message of love to the body in a way that nobody else can do it. Nobody else can say it like Darren. Nobody else can wear it like Darren. Nobody else can give it like Darren. When Darren hugs you with an embrace from Christ, it ain't the same as George's hug. I know, I've had them both. When Michael speaks, it ain't the same as when Brother Jim speaks. Each one of us has been crafted uniquely by God to be a proclaimer of his message of love, his message of salvation to the world. Ephesians 4:16 is your first verse reference. It says, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. The New International Version says, each part. The King James Version says, every part. In either case, it includes you. It means you. Your message is as important as anyone else's because no one can deliver it but you. God didn't give it to anyone else but you. 1 Peter 4:10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. There's that word again. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. When I think about this verse about us being carriers of God's grace, I think of us being couriers of his grace, like UPS. Grace parcels that he wants us to deliver day by day. And then we have 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 27, which I'm not going to read the whole thing, but a portion of it. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 27. But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them. Are you seeing yourself in this yet, or are you thinking he's talking about somebody else? But God has in fact arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. So you think you're weak or great? God says you're indispensable. Those parts that seem to be, it says, weaker. Seem to who? To the outside world, maybe even to yourself. If others see you as weaker, God says you're indispensable. If you see yourself as weaker, God says you're indispensable. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it, it says. See, your presence in the body of Christ is not a mistake. It's not an accident. It's not a coincidence. God designed you and placed you in the body. Now, Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's workmanship. You are God's masterpiece, George. God's workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So, Shanaria, you are a carefully conceived part of God's master plan, which the scripture says he devised this before the beginning of time. Now, this is extremely important. Realize this. He didn't create the plan and then fit you into it somehow. He created the plan with you in mind as an integral part of it from the very beginning. You were a part of his plan before you even began. You were a part of it, specifically you. Not anybody will do. No, you. I have specific things that I want to accomplish in this world. I have a specific plan for bringing everything to a culmination under Christ. I have a magnificent eternal plan. And this is how the plan's going to work. And I am going to design a being to fit this part of this eternal plan. So I'm going to create Jocelyn, and I'm going to design her, and I'm going to equip her, and I'm going to make her uniquely suited for this portion of my eternal plan. That's what it's saying. That's what it's saying about each one of us. He didn't say, let me find something for Jocelyn to do. Something around here I can find, you know, maybe she can sweep or something. I don't know. Something. He created her to do the things he had already planned. See, there are no expendable parts in Christ's body. There are no extra screws left over in the assembly of his church. You are not an extra screw or an anonymous leg over here that he got to try to prop up something with you. No, he's not that way. And that's not how he designed it. As an example, no part is more significant than another. No part is more significant. We have different roles, but not greater significance. Your role is as important as anybody who's ever lived. Do you know your role is as important as Moses' role? Now, if you want to argue with me about that, take me out for chicken, and I will show you many verses. I would love to engage you on this to make that point that your role, little old you, sitting right there with all the stuff going on in your head, all the stuff going on in your life, all your problems, all your doubts, all your worries. He had doubts. He had worries. He had issues, too. And so did everybody else who was ever used as a part of this magnificent plan that God constructed before the world began. You are no different. You are no different. Your issues are not an issue. So if you want to quibble with me about it, chicken dinner is all it will cost you. And if you can't afford a chicken dinner, I work on a sliding scale. We'll even put that aside. But see, here's what I'm talking about. See, the scripture captures both, as we looked at last week, the dramatic impact of 3,000 people coming to Christ at one time based upon Peter's preaching. It captures that. It photographs that for our display. But it also captures an impoverished widow giving all she had, which was hardly anything. And never does the scripture exalt one over the other. You don't see, this was really, really great. You know, that 3,000 people came to the Lord at once. That was fantastic. Now, this little widow, yeah, she gave something, but you know. Jesus said, no, this woman gave more than everybody else. So what is the key? Because you're hearing me, but you're not grasping me. Because if you were grasping me, you'd be standing up shouting. If you were grasping me, it would be hard for you to sit in your seat. If you were grasping what I'm saying, you would be on fire. Smoke would be coming out of your ears. If you were grasping this, if this was more than just a homily, if this was more than just, okay, that's a nice message, that's good. If this was going to be something more than, yeah, that was a good sermon, Pastor Beatty. If this is going to be something that revolutionizes your life, if this was something that was burning inside of you, and I would dare say the way God wants it to burn inside of you, you would be squirming. You'd be moving all over the place. Maybe even not physically, but inside your heart, your spirit, your mind. Your perspective on your job, your perspective on your family, your perspective would begin to shift. Because you would recognize that your life is much bigger than this. You would realize that God's got bigger plans for you than you do. See, the things of earth would begin to fade just a bit. And you would begin to see through God's eyes how he sees you. And when we begin to see ourselves the way God sees us, you can see why Zephaniah says he rejoices over us with shouts of joy. Because he's not passive towards you. You may think that when you pray, as Falami was saying this morning, she reminded me of a message that I gave a while back. Like when you pray, you think maybe your prayers are like newspapers on the lawn of heaven that haven't been picked up. They're just they're just lying there, or junk mail in God's mailbox. If we could only see, Lord help us. If we could only see how glorious we are to him. If we could only see the reception that we receive when we lift our voices and our hearts to heaven. If we could only see how the scripture says that he crowns us with loving kindness. It says in Psalm 103, he crowns you with loving kindness. Help us, Jesus. So what is the key to grasping this phenomenal truth? It's really in our personal relationship with the Lord. It's in our cultivation of our relationship with him that we begin to be able to grasp this. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, it says in Colossians 2:3. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. The deeper our relationship with him grows, the more of these treasures we realize. Draw me nearer. Draw me nearer. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, we commune as friend with friend. Somebody wrote that. You know why? Because somebody experienced that. Somebody knew what they were talking about. They were talking about the revolutionary relationship with Jesus Christ that changes everything. And that's the key to grasping this phenomenal truth of who we are. It's not a formula out there somewhere. It's relational. My job as a pastor is to paint the vision using the palette of scripture to show you God's view of you. But I'm a poor artist. I don't draw too well. And even if I could paint the picture perfectly, God is the one that brings it to life. He's the one that makes the colors live. It is in your relationship with Him that He personalizes this truth and says, yes, I'm talking to you. Yes, I'm talking about you. What you heard, yes, I'm talking about you, Demetrius. Yes, you, John. I'm talking about you, Dave. Gene, I'd like to mention all of you, but I'm not. How do you participate in this? Let me just give you some practical tips. And you do these things prayerfully. You do these things in relationship. Don't do them as a recipe. I caution you. Do not do them as a recipe. Do them in communication and communion with the Lord. Give what you love. Give what you love. Give what you love. Dorcas loved making things. Give what you love. Give what you're good at. Barnabas was good at encouraging. Give what you're good at. Give what others have affirmed. Give what others have affirmed. We don't always see our uniqueness. We don't always see our specialness until someone comes along and says, that's unique about you. Or the way you do that is special. Listen to what others are affirming. Give where you're needed. Give where you're needed. Give where you are. Boy, I want to say that one again. Don't go searching for it, brothers and sisters. Give where you are. Give where you are. There's ministry all around us. There's ministry everywhere we go. There's ministry when you're filling up your gas tank. There's ministry when you're taking your walk in the morning. There's ministry when you're going into Starbucks for a cup of coffee. There's ministry everywhere you are. Seek to be receptive and responsive. See, this is how we look at our purpose sometimes. We look at our purpose this way. Lord, reveal that big purpose to me so that I can have this sense of having accomplished your purpose for my life. I want to hear the cymbal crash. You know, I've been hearing the drum roll, and your will is the cymbal crash. Where is the cymbal crash? Where is it, Lord? Please reveal that cymbal crash to me. But you know what God's will for your life is? It is the cumulative effect of your moment-by-moment responses to Him. And at the end of your life, it is that cumulative responsiveness that equals God's will. So if you're waiting for the cymbal crash, I'm not waiting anymore. I believe that God wants to be in relationship with me every single day and to cultivate a responsiveness to Him in every moment that equals fulfilling His will for my life at the end of my life. And there may be periods where there's an accent, where there's something that you do that, wow, that was great, Lord, thank you. But that's not His total will for your life. It doesn't stop when that happens. Okay, I did that thing. Now I guess I've accomplished God's will. I'll just coast to the end of my life. God's will for our lives is revealed by the cumulative effect of all of our moments of responsiveness to Him. And then finally, I want to say this. It says that in Ephesians 4, it says that as we recognize and as we receive how God has designed us, our uniqueness, it says the body builds itself up in love. See, when we're focused on the amazing things God is doing in us, there's no room for envy or competition. There's no room for comparison. Comparing ourselves to one another is showing contempt for God's imagination. It is. Comparing ourselves to one another is showing contempt for God's imagination. God is infinitely creative. Why does he have to repeat the same act? The same trick? Why does he have to create the same thing? You are unique unto yourself from God's viewpoint. What's greater, a cheetah or a fish? What's greater, a cheetah or a fish? There's no comparison. They're two different things. He didn't create a fish to run like a cheetah, but neither did he create a cheetah to swim like a fish. Or more biblically, he didn't create the ear to see or the eye to hear, but each part is unique and complementary of one another. I am so glad my eye doesn't argue with my foot. I am so glad that my hand doesn't argue with my spleen. I am so glad that my body works in harmony and they're not trying to be something. The parts are not trying to be something that it's not. You know what we call that? A mutation when that's happening. I just want all of us here to grow in appreciation for the spectacular creation that you are in Christ and to give him thanks accordingly. So consider the you in church this week. Remember that a truer view of yourself in Christ will lead to greater impact on the world for Christ. And that's how God wants to operate his church. The church is not the building on the corner, as you know, and it's not just a collection of people. The church is comprised of unique creations assembled together to express Christ in the manifold forms that God has created each of us to do so. I'm done.